Back up top, shot through traffic, save made. Follow-up try, that one hits a body in front, and a score! It's a score! It's a score! And the Ice Bears have a 4-3 lead with 30 seconds remaining in the hockey game. Oh, what a hit! Welcome to the SPHL in Knoxville! Comes in on the right side, through the right circle, taking it and fed across, they score! Oh, yes! And the Ice Bears win 3-2 in overtime!
Welcome into the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg. Thank you for checking out the KIB podcast this season. And if this is your first time, welcome aboard. And whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, thank you so much for checking out the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast. What a season it was. A lot of great hockey over the course of the last several months from October through April. And the Peoria Rivermen end up as the President's Cup champions for the second time in 3 years. That's three banners in 3 years for Peoria after their regular season title last season as well. And a lot of history made in a number of different ways, but obviously the stat that we pointed out last week, no team had ever won the President's Cup when losing game one of the championship series, whether it was best of three, best of five, best of seven. Peoria dropped game one on Thursday in Alabama, 3-2. Came back to Illinois on Saturday, took game two, 6-4, and then took game three, 5-1 on Sunday. So Peoria is now a two-time winner of the President's Cup, and Alec Hageman is a two-time recipient of the President's Cup Playoffs MVP Award, his second honor after winning it back in 2021 as a member of the Pensacola Ice Flyers during the COVID-shortened season when the Rivermen were one of five teams in the SPHL not to play that season. Hageman, as well as other players from different SPHL teams, went and joined other organizations for that year. So Hageman goes down to Pensacola, helps the Ice Flyers win a championship. He had 5 points in four games in the playoffs that year and was named the playoffs MVP. Then the following season, he returns to Peoria, helps Peoria win their first SPHL title. He had a big role in that. Jack Berry was the finals MVP, but Hageman certainly a big moment for him being from that part of Illinois and being a longtime captain for the organization. And obviously a big deal for him to be able to get one in his hometown to go along with the one that he won in Pensacola. And after his team goes down 3-2 in game one and kind of a bit of a miscue there on the blue line. Peoria has the puck in the attacking zone. There's a turnover, leads to a breakaway for Robbie Fisher. He buries it, and Huntsville's got a 3-2 lead, playing with a lot of momentum after having to overcome a really good Roanoke squad in the semifinals. And suddenly Huntsville's going to Illinois with two opportunities to claim a title that I don't think too many people expected. I don't think anybody expected Huntsville to be a bad hockey team, but you had to replace so much high quality talent up top, including a new coaching staff. And so you figure there's going to be some growing pains. And I think what was really impressive about Huntsville is how they quickly established a young core with a first year head coach and made a really impressive run. And obviously I know they would have loved to have closed out the deal over the weekend, and so it stings right now for Huntsville, but long term I think Huntsville is going to be just fine. I don't think the Havoc are going anywhere. They've got a lot of really good players that are young and are probably going to be expected to be back next season, and so it doesn't feel like it right now, but if you're a Huntsville fan, you have to feel like your team is playing with house money, because while if Huntsville had lost to Roanoke in the semifinals, maybe the sting is a little bit less right now. But you're still very optimistic about what this team can do moving forward, because you replaced four high-quality forwards. Hunter Vorva's not there. Max Milosik's not there anymore in net. Nick Latinovich spent a lot of time playing for Huntsville last season, ends up going to Peoria this year. And there's just a lot of key pieces that you have to replace. And you go on this really solid run. First of all, you were the fifth seeded team, which is nothing to scoff at, and Huntsville continued to play better and better as the year went along, and then you make this really solid run to the finals And you have to feel really optimistic about what you could do next year. And if you're a Huntsville fan, or if you're a member of Huntsville staff or a player, I think you have to feel really optimistic that you should be a top two, top three team next season, depending on what happens with the rest of the league. But, you know, you have a playoff run like that. You know, we kind of saw it with Roanoke. They were the eight seed, and nobody really saw that Roanoke team in 2022 as an eight seed. They had a really bizarre run at the end of the regular season that put them in the eight seed. But before that struck, they were kind of fighting in the 4-5 range, make the run to the finals. The following year, they're the four seed, but they kind of dealt with some injuries, you know, some call-ups and a kind of a weird slump in February that year. They end up being the four seed, but everybody saw them as a legitimate contender, and they go on to win the cup. And then this year, they're the three seed. Everybody saw them as a legitimate contender, and it took a really good series from Huntsville to beat them. And that's a big accomplishment by Huntsville. And obviously Roanoke's disappointed in the result, but it was a great season. And I think that comes from just having a lot of parity in the league this year, where you really felt like there were a lot of legitimate teams that could have made a claim to the cup. And this year it's the two seed, and it's a Peoria squad that returned a lot of guys back from last year's first place squad, several players that were part of the championship team back in 2022. And, you know, a captain that was going to drag that entire team on his back if he had to. Unfortunately, he didn't have to. Hageman had a lot of help from, you know, being a part of a really good squad, but he definitely took over games 2 and 3. And that's kind of the big historical performance I think that we got out of this final championship series. So after Huntsville goes on to take game one, you look at game two, and this is, you know, kind of a fun stat that I think really speaks about how Peoria took control of games 2 and 3. And I know that Peoria was solid at home all season long, so obviously the home ice advantage, and despite what, you know, historically we had seen is, oh, you lose game one, well, that's, you know, that hasn't spelled out too great for, you know, the team that loses in terms of the rest of the final series. And granted, it's not necessarily going to be the schedule logistics aren't going to lay out the same way every time. The lower seeded team doesn't always get to host game one at home, so that's part of it. Well, it's not always a best of three series, but there have been times where it's, you know, obviously it's been almost before this year, it had been every season that team that wins game one goes on to win the finals. And in this particular case, I think what we saw was Peoria made some mistakes in game one that they knew they needed to clean up. They went home to game two. And the stat that really is interesting to me is between games 2 and 3, over six periods of hockey, Peoria scored in the first 5 minutes of four of those six periods, including all three periods in game two. So Peoria came out 4.5 minutes into the first period, they've got a 1-0 lead. They made it 3-0 before Eric Henderson got Huntsville on the board late in the first period, game two. So Huntsville's got a little bit of momentum back. Okay, hey, we cut it to two. We've got two periods left to work with. Let's claw back in, win this game. Less than a minute in, Hageman scores. Now it's a 4-1 hockey game. Huntsville claws their way back. They make it a 4-3 game going into the third period. Alec Bear scores less than 2 minutes in. Every time Huntsville started to fight back in game two, Peoria was right there with an answer and took all that momentum going into the locker room. Huntsville did. Peoria came right out of the gate in all three of those periods, took it right back, or just took it. And I thought it was impressive the way that Peoria responded and handled time and time again in game two, how Huntsville kept coming back and coming back. And Reginato had a big game. Henderson contributed offensively. Jack Yannick had a really big goal halfway through the second period. David Thompson had a really good series, but what Alec Bear and Alec Hageman did, you know, the two biggest players on that team, two of the biggest players on that Peoria team, there's a lot of stars on that team, but you look at the Alec Bear has a 5-point night. Hageman has a hat trick with the season on the line, coming off a game one loss, and kind of just a weird setting of, you know, Hageman, you know, watching his team being in the box late in game one. He takes a penalty while his team's trying to get back into the game, down 3-2 after a miscue at the blue line that leads to a breakaway goal for Robbie Fisher. And so you kind of think, okay, is it just going to come apart, or is Peoria going to be able to regroup? And that's the question you ask as the series shifts back to Illinois. And then the big time players come up big for Peoria. And that's what you need. You know, sometimes you have unsung playoff heroes in certain situations, but I think great teams want to see their best players have monster performances. And it's not just, you know, okay, you know, we love the story of, oh, well, the third line winger scores the game winning goal, or, you know, one of the defensemen who doesn't get a whole lot of offense makes a big play and maybe gets the overtime winner, but with a shot from the point. Alec Bear goes out and has a 5-point night in game two. Hageman has a hat trick. Those guys absolutely go off. And then in game three, Hageman gets everything started in what is going to be his last game. And he confirmed to the Peoria Journal-Star after Sunday night's win that he was retired, and it was widely expected that that was going to be the case. I know he announced his retirement last year, but obviously some things changed over the course of the offseason that kind of put him in a situation where he decided it was better for him to play than become the assistant coach this year for Peoria. And so he opts to come back and play, has a really solid season offensively, but these last two games absolutely took the series over. And I think that's where you're looking at one of the most historical performances in a President's Cup final series coming from Hageman. And look, I understand his reputation. Say what you will about whether you don't like, you know, the turtle aspect of it or the antics. It, you know, obviously there are players in this league that have different reputations than others. But when you look at Alec Hageman, the player, he's a really good shooter. He can set up his teammates really well. And he also delivers big in clutch situations. And so for a while, there was kind of this moniker around Peoria that they couldn't get it done in the finals, because before two seasons ago, Peoria was either first round or finals. Like, there was no, like, it was really, really weird. They kind of had that run. They got bounced in the first round, I think, three times, and then lost three finals appearances. And it's very difficult, and all that, like, in a 6-year span. So it's very, very difficult to, you know, try to get over the hump sometimes when that is kind of your stigma around a team. And, you know, Peoria is trying to get over the hump and they're trying to get back in. And so, you know, their first 2 years in the SPHL, they lose in round one. Then they lose three straight finals appearances. Then they lose in round one again. So a 6-year span, bounced in the first round three times, twice, by the way, as a number one seed. Then there's no playoffs in 2020. They don't play in 2021. They've come back the last 3 years. They have two championships in the postseason and then a regular season title where they lost in the semifinals to a really good Roanoke squad. But it's been a really impressive run. You're talking about all of these opportunities to legitimately compete. And so you can go back and make fun of, well, hey, you know, you lost all these finals back a few years ago. Okay, but at least you're getting there. And so for Hageman, it's just such a historic performance where, yes, there's the added motivation that he's the hometown hero. He's the captain. It's his last career game. But it's another thing to go out and perform at that level. And so you're down 1-0. No team in the history of this league has ever come back from a 1-0 series deficit to win the championship. And he goes two big games at home and has 6 points in two games. And there are obviously going to be other statistical performances that might be comparable, but I think when you look at the setting and the pressure that is on a captain to go out and literally lead his team to a victory, that's one of the best closing performances to a championship series, let alone a career in SPHL history. So now Hageman retires as one of the top scorers in the history of the league, one of the, you know, probably the one of the more decorated players in the history of the league. You're talking about three championships. You're talking about multiple finals MVPs and a multiple all-SPHL selection. So really closing out his career on a significantly high note. And the thing is with Hageman, it's not like he was always notoriously this point per game player. You know, when he first came into the league, in each of his first two seasons, he had 26 points in 51 games. His stat line was almost identical. And so his role was not necessarily to be this playmaking, strong shooting player. You know, the points per game went up significantly over the course in the latter stages of his career. You know, he kind of really turned it on towards his fourth season in the league. you know, right before COVID, 61 points in 51 games, then was a point per game player the following year, and then had 51 points in 44 games before COVID shut down everything. And he goes to Pensacola, where there's a lot of ECHL guys. He has 17 points in 24 games, but then in the playoffs, he steps up, and then suddenly he's the President's Cup Finals MVP, and then has a 71-point season to help lead Peoria to their first President's Cup title in the SPHL, and obviously Alec Bear was the MVP that year. But statistically, when you look at Peoria, there's not one player that just, you know, screams numbers, like high-scoring numbers in the SPHL this season, like there was with Birmingham, where they had a couple of, you know, 60-point scorers, and you know, you've got Quad City with a bunch of guys in the upper 50s. And so for Peoria, Alec Bear was their leading scorer with 52 points. So, you know, you didn't have that necessarily all these guys that were like, oh, 60 points, but you had a couple of 50-point scorers. J.M. Piotrowski had a monster year. You got a lot of good secondary scoring from guys like Caden Cahill and Jordan Ernst. And then on the blue line, I thought Cale List had a really good growing year for him. And then obviously Zach Wilkie's one of the best defensemen in the league. So offensively, it was a team that could put up points in a hurry and could score when they really needed to. And they, you know, secondary scoring is what makes teams really, really good in this league. But the best players came out and had their best performance in games 2 and 3 of this series. And so it's a testament to what Alec Bear and what Alec Hageman did with their team's season on the line. And for Hageman to close out his career like that, it's, you know, it's a really remarkable stamp on a lengthy career, because you don't see a whole lot of 10-year guys in this league. You see some, and you see some guys like Jason Price, Side Nutkovich, that retired last year. There's a handful of guys that stick in this league for a long time, but we're still kind of at the point where 4 or 5 years in this league is a lot. You don't, it's not that normal. You know, you don't have that many teams that are just full of guys that have played specifically in the SPHL for 5 years or longer. And for Peoria, they've had a handful of guys that stuck around. They've had guys that are still around from that championship squad. You know, Jordan Ernst is playing in his fourth season in Peoria and his fifth year in the SPHL. Hageman's been around a long time. J.M. Piotrowski has, you know, now he's got 3 years in Peoria under his belt after spending a couple years in Birmingham and Huntsville. And Alec Bear has been around for a while. And so you have that core of guys that have all played at a high level and have all played really well. And it all came together for Peoria when it really needed to. And then at times, you know, Peoria got off to a great start this season. They were 7-0-1. Their first trip outside the Midwest, they had to go to Knoxville, they had to go to Huntsville. They dropped some games in regulation, kind of started to wonder, okay, well, how is this team going to compete away from home? Eventually, they got it figured out, started playing better, added some pieces down the stretch, continued to find that rhythm a little bit. They dealt with some injuries early on, too, with guys just not consistently being in the lineup. Eventually got it sorted out, and then Latinovich really came on strong. You heard Jason Ruff, the voice of the Rivermen, on the show last week talking about how Latinovich really started to get it going from January onward, and it made himself a goaltender of the year candidate. And so you had all those guys coming together, and then you got stability from your secondary areas, and then got an incredible boost from the guys that had gotten you here before. And so for Jean-Guy Trudel to, you know, come back and win his second title in 3 years after losing in the semifinals as a one seed the year before, is impressive the way that Peoria handled this season and came back and fought off a really good effort from Huntsville. But that's also kind of just something worth pointing out. And it's nothing against these players, but you look at how the series shaped out for Huntsville and Peoria when it comes to your top guys. And we heard Austin Colletti kind of talk about that upper line of guys like Dylan Stewart, Phil Elkstam, Buster Larson. Those guys didn't have points in the series. And you got that from Peoria's side of it. Dylan Stewart did not have, you know, did not score over the course of the championship series. And then you have Buster Larson, who did not score over the course of the championship series. And he was an integral role in turning Huntsville's season from being, you know, a good team to a title contender. And you look at Phil Elkstam, did not score in the championship series. And so those three guys that we talked about last week all held scoreless. And that goes to show how stout Peoria has been defensively, how good Nick Latinovich has been. And it's nothing against those three players. You have to outplay the best players in the league to win championships. And Peoria proved that it could do that. And so while, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, it was kind of funny because we were talking about Peoria winning the title in 2022, and they didn't have to face a top four seed to do it. Now, they still had to get through a couple of tough series. You know, they were stretched to three games by Pensacola, then again by Quad City, then, you know, four games by Roanoke. And then this year, though, it even though they were pushed to the brink a couple of times, it felt like this run for them, in a way, they were tested a little bit more in different ways. Pensacola gave them a really good look in game one in the first round. Evansville played them tough for both games, and just Peoria kind of took control down the stretch, and that was kind of the theme for Peoria during this playoff run. And then in Huntsville, and the Havoc came out really strong at home, put Peoria on thin ice, and Peoria came out and really took control of both games two and three. And Huntsville was kind of playing from behind the rest of the series. And so even though Huntsville won game one, it never really saw the finish line in games two or three. And that's a big way, a good, impressive way on how you close out a series after losing game one if you're Peoria. And so now Peoria has seen itself appear in five finals in the last 8 years, nine seasons. So it's a really, really good stretch of hockey for Peoria. They've consistently been a staple of regular season success. And then after losing in the finals three times, you kind of wondered, okay, is it going to ever happen for the Rivermen? Now they've got two titles in 3 years. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Peoria moving forward in the post-Hageman era. Again, he confirmed the Peoria Journal Star after the game that he's retired, that he's not playing anymore. He's going to go out with three rings and two finals MVPs. But what about the rest of that team? And so, you know, what is the transition going to be like for Peoria moving on in the post-Hageman era? And it's just going to look different in a lot of other ways. You know, Roanoke, when they lost to Huntsville, a couple of emotional Rail Yard Dogs players on the ice after that series was over against the Havoc. Is that a sign that guys are retiring? Are there guys, you know, going to opt for other chances? You know, there were some players that spent some time overseas. Some players spent some time in the ECHL. What happens with Roanoke moving forward after what has been a really good three-year run for the Rail Yard Dogs? Huntsville appears to be young and that they're not going anywhere. They had a really good run in this postseason. Do guys take opportunities in Europe or the coast? Quad City will have a new head coach. What is Macon going to do after parting ways with Nick Niedert? What do they decide to do as far as a hockey operation standpoint? So it's, you know, you're looking at a lot of different viewpoints of what could potentially happen with a bunch of different teams. And I think in some ways the SPHL is going to look very different next year. I don't think it's going to be anything super drastic, but you know, it's granted we get a lot of turnover in this league every single season, but when you look at how, you know, certain runs almost come to an end, where for Roanoke, they were looking to make the finals for the third consecutive year, and they've had an older core group that has helped get them there. And so whenever you get to the end of the season, you kind of have to ask yourself, okay, well, what's the future of that older core group? And how do we reload? Now, I think the way that Dan Bremner's coached over the last couple of years and how he's recruited has proven that Roanoke's going to stay competitive regardless of which players leave, which players come back. And there's always going to be a little bit of a rebuilding process. And that's what happened with Huntsville this year. It was a little bit of a rebuild at the start. Not like that Huntsville was playing horrible hockey, but they continue to get their young guys better and developed. And Stuart Stefan and Tyler Piacentini did a great job of that. And then they acquire Buster Larson, and he ends up helping them be elevated to a new level. And Mike Robinson coming back from overseas played a huge role in that as well. So the midseason adjustments are very important. What you get out of the college swing when the college season ends, which players do you get in to help bolster your lineup? Brett Humberstone, I know he was suspended for game three, but I thought he helped bolster Huntsville's blue line towards the end of the season after being acquired from Wisconsin Stevens Point. So there's always these, you know, major things. What do we do over the offseason? How do we handle everything in season? and then the college swing towards the end. There's three major recruiting periods that kind of take place over the course of an SPHL season. So each of these teams that, you know, wins championships and deals with different stuff, and, you know, seeing the continuity played a big role in success for a lot of teams this year. So when you look at Birmingham, Roanoke, and Peoria, the three teams that finished in the top three in the league standings this year, all three of them returned nine players or more from last season. That's a lot of continuity. That's half your lineup. So how next season plays out, I think it's going to look different. Obviously, you know, we're going to get waves of players announcing retirements and signing with teams overseas, and there are some really good players in this league that are going to get chances in the ECHL, and some of those guys are going to stick and they're never going to see the SPHL again. And that's just the way that it goes. So how it plays out is going to tell the story of what next season in the SPHL looks like. But when you look at the high octane scoring that Quad City got, you look at the core that Huntsville was able to develop and leading to a big playoff run, you look at the consistency of the lineups of teams like Birmingham, Peoria, Roanoke, and you look at what Ryan Crothers did from a recruiting standpoint in his first year in Fayetteville and some of the great talent he had there, acquiring Cam Cook in a trade, getting Simon Boyko. You really felt like there was a lot of parity in the league this year, and that was proven more so when you get to the playoffs and Pensacola's taking Peoria to overtime in game one and Evansville's knocking off Birmingham in an 8-1 upset. So I think you see that there was parity throughout the league this year. And so while on paper, okay, the 5 seed making a run to get to the finals doesn't happen very often. And by the way, if Huntsville had won the series, it would have tied for the lowest seeded team in SPHL history to win the title. The 5 seed had won it twice before. A 6, 7, or 8 has never won it, though there have been a couple of 8 seeds to make a run to the finals, but it doesn't happen very often. But it also, the way that Huntsville was playing, I don't know if it would have really surprised anybody in the moment. Looking back on it on paper and looking back at Huntsville at times throughout the course of the season earlier in the year, you would have thought, yeah, okay, I think Huntsville's a really good team, and I think long-term they're going to be really good, but I don't know if they have it this year. And ultimately, technically, they didn't with Peoria getting the win. But I think Huntsville exceeded expectations for a first-year head coach, even though, you know, Stuart Stefan sliding over from the assistant coaching role to the bench boss, and then Tyler Piacentini goes from being the captain to being the assistant coach. Glenn DiTullio goes into the front office after being the head coach for so long. But there weren't a ton of top-line players that were back to lead this team, especially offensively, with Jacob Barber, Sy Nutkovich, Tyler Piacentini, and Rob Dara all gone. And then some other key players from that squad as well. You know, good players like Nate Hudgen that opted to go back to Canada. So I think moving forward, you're going to continue to get parity. It's going to continue to be competitive hockey. And I think the league has to be really pleased with how this season played out from an on-ice hockey quality standpoint. Because I think the hockey's improving. You're seeing more guys get call-ups, and you're seeing more guys that get call-ups stick in the ECHL rather than just, oh, he's been up for 6 weeks. He played like 3 shifts. He, you know, had 4 total minutes of ice time. He's going to come back, and now he's rusty because he hasn't been getting, you know, playing time and hasn't been getting reps. That doesn't happen nearly as often as it used to. The SPHL is starting to show that it can be more of a competitive balance from a hockey standpoint, and I think the league is realizing that, and I think the ECHL is realizing that with some of the league's better players. So it's been a fun season. I appreciate everybody for checking out the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast this year. And we have had a lot of fun covering the SPHL. So thank you again to everybody that has taken the time to listen this season. And congratulations again to the Peoria Rivermen for winning the President's Cup title for the second time in franchise history and second time in the last 3 years. And we're already counting the days until October as we wait for next season to be upon us. I'm Joel Silverberg. Thank you again for listening to the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast.